So while we were watching Pitt last night, there was Cooper Kupp, but Donnie, and I know this is a Donnie Football Friday, we have to briefly weigh in on an extremely unusual situation with your Pittsburgh Penguins. I covered this team as a beat writer for a number of years and as a columnist for many, many more. I have never seen a situation like this. They have a $28 million goaltender who went out west with them. His hometown, basically, the Edmonton area, at least, you know, where he played his junior hockey, all that stuff. He's been sent back to Pittsburgh. Headline in the Post-Gazette, Penguins send Tristan Jarry back home to Pittsburgh in latest twist in goalie competition. I'll say it's a twist. Matt Wenzel saying, Mike Sullivan said it was part of the team's plan going into the road trip to have Jarry leave the team Wednesday so he could get in some one-on-one training with director of goaltending John Elkin. That's an interesting plan. Hey, Tristan, let's go all the way out to Western Canada, and then right when we get there, we'll send you back to work with John Elkin. What? We spoke to Tristan about it. He bought into it, and we'll go from there, Sullivan said. Donnie, what is happening here? This is like sending, you know, Ben, you know, you go out for a West Coast trip where you're going to stay for a couple weeks. I know this would never happen. Mm-hmm. You play the Raiders and then the Chargers. And in week two, you try to act like it's normal that you just sent Ben home to work with a quarterback coach? What is happening?
Yeah, or I think you can maybe make a baseball comparison, like it's a West Coast swing. You have like 9 or 12 games out west, and one of your best players is going through a slump, and you just send the guy home like two games in.
He hasn't
even played.
Right, the guy at the most important position, a $28 million goalie. Nothing to see here, Sully. He also claimed the other day that he wasn't a healthy scratch. Technically, maybe he wasn't, but he's been buried here.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly something going on, and I think a lot
he
of it
stinks.
Comes down,
that's what's going
well, yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, and I've never been a Tristan Jarry guy, so I almost feel bad at this point that I'm piling on because I thought the contract that he signed and that they offered him, I don't blame him for signing it. I think anybody would sign that. The contract that he was offered on the first day of free agency in 2023, I thought was ludicrous, especially given the length of the deal, 5 years for that. And now here we are at the beginning of the second year after he was benched at the end of last season and they had the backup
right
playing games down the
stretch. And apparently
tried
to trade him in the offseason. Apparently tried, reportedly tried.
I was on the other night, Joe. I had Jesse Marshall on. I don't know if you've ever had him on.
Yeah, the Marshall plan. Yeah.
And he said that he would not expect Jarry to be on the roster by season's end. He said the only way, though, that they find a trade partner, this would have to be like, hey, we will eat some of this guy's salary. We have to basically admit our mistake.
We'll eat all of his salary if you'll just take him.
Yeah,
plus, we'll pay you an extra $10
million. And they'll probably have to throw in a sweetener with the deal, like another pick or something, I don't know, and just say, please, for the love of God, take this off
this
our hands.
This is the Jeff Carter situation all over again, except with a guy allegedly in his prime who's getting paid $28 million, who's supposed to be the guy at the most important position. And the great Kyle Dubas, defended by all of Penguins media over and over again, never got the goaltending right in Toronto, so he kept them from maybe making a run at a cup. And then one of his first big moves here was to ruin the goaltending here. Nice job, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, we heard coming in like, oh, this guy is he's the boy wonder, the boy genius. He's the Theo Epstein of hockey. And they are now barely – they're a year plus into this. They're into the second season under this new regime, and
he's the Ben Charrington of hockey, and this guy's his Rowdy Tellez.
And the goalie who you signed to a 5-year contract worth what, 5.375
$28 million
per year.
Yeah.
He has
More.
Been benched for the second season in a row, and this time it took 3 whole games to get benched in 2024. They're in a bad way. I mean, obviously, there's something mentally going on with the player, too. I mean, that's half the battle in pro sports that sometimes people forget. I mean, that's clearly the one of the biggest issues here. But this is the most important player on the ice for most teams, and the Penguins have to rely on
it's ridiculous.
And a player in Joel Blomqvist, who I would love to see play well, but I don't think even he expected to be put in the position he's been put in.
Limits calls him Yoel, which might be the right pronunciation. Yoel Blomqvist. I go with Joel, like you. Limits, want to defend the Yoel? He's on the phone. The part that gets me still is the second paragraph. Coach Mike Sullivan said after Thursday's practice at Rogers Place, and for those of you who don't know, Rogers Place is in Edmonton, and for those of you who don't know, Edmonton is way off on the other side of North America, that it was part of the team's plan going into the road trip to have Jari leave the team Wednesday so he could get in some one-on-one training with director of goaltending John Elkin.
That's completely bogus.
That sounds like a Matt Canada game plan there. What in the world are we doing here?
I mean, I get that they have to say these things, but I don't know. I think in that case, you could at least say, like, hey, Tristan's clearly going through some stuff. I mean, the thing is, it's clear to everybody. Like, and it's a guy you're not even playing right now. You're having
right.
him sit up in the press box. So, I don't know. Maybe a little bit more on the side of, like, yeah, I mean, things clearly are going on here that he's trying to figure out. We're going to send him back. Not, I mean, if that was in your plan, why did he even make the trip?
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the plan, Tristan. We want you to get on the plane, go all the way across North America, but just till Wednesday. Then we'll fly you back across North America to work out with a guy nobody's ever heard of, who's our director of goaltending. When you have a goaltending coach who I think is with the team, is he not? I don't know what the hell's happening. It's not Donnie Hockey Friday. It's Donnie Football Friday. Let's get back to football, if we will. And the other thing happening last night, and I was toggling between the two, Donnie, I had the football game, the NFL game on my laptop on Amazon Prime, which I thought I was very proud of my technological expertise last night, and the Pitt game up on the television. So our reading on Cooper Kupp, 5 catches, 51 yards, 8 targets, a touchdown, a big first down catch late, made a mistake late by stepping out of bounds. For me, coming off the high ankle sprain, he didn't look like he was 100% to me, like that spry, but he looked pretty damn good. And I think a guy who's that dependable getting open for Russell Wilson and unlocking the middle of the field would be unbelievable for them. And last night didn't do anything to dissuade me from that opinion. You?
But here's what's not good about last night, Joe. The Rams won the game.
That's the problem.
And Matt Stafford looked great because he had his 2 best targets back on the field. Nacua had a nice game in his return, 7 for 106. You just went over Cooper Kupp's numbers. Stafford threw for really like a vintage Matt Stafford night. Over 275, 4 touchdowns. He had an interception in there. But he had clearly his best game of the season, and he was doing so earlier on without his 2 best receivers on the field. We know that can be difficult for quarterbacks depending on the situation. The other thing is that the Rams, even though they were off to a slow start, the NFC West is wide open.
Yeah.
San Francisco hasn't taken control. Arizona's been a fun, frisky team. Seattle started 3-0, but they're 1-3 since. If I'm the Rams, I'm just clearly holding on to this guy. You won last night. You beat one of the best stories in football, a team that through this point in the season hasn't looked like a fluke in Minnesota. You beat them by 2 scores, and I'm saying, why would we get rid of this guy? I think we can win our division.
I agree with that. You still root for them to lose to Seattle, hopefully, but maybe they're thinking we have a new number one guy in town because clearly Puka is the guy now. He was great last night. Maybe they're thinking that, like, we can get by without him, and what are we doing with him anyway? He's 31. It's not Sean McVay's decision. It's be somebody above him who might say, yeah, there aren't, like, guarantees necessarily, I think, beyond a $5 million guarantee for next season, nothing in 2026. But still, why not get rid of this money while we can, pick up a little of it, and just move on from Cooper Kupp? We're in it in this division, but are we a championship team? I don't know. I don't know how they're feeling. But there's at least, how many more games? Is that the last game before the deadline? their game against Seattle. Deadline is November 5th. Their game against
Seattle.
Should be
two more, I think.
No, just one. At Seattle.
Oh, yeah, it would be next week.
And then they have a game against Miami. See, then they have Miami and New England, Donnie. You're probably right. They go in and beat Seattle. They're 4-4, and then they have the worst of the AFC. They have the AFC least after that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, Matt Stafford looked like his usual self last night, and shockingly, it's because the two best receivers were back on the field, and they looked to be mostly back to full health.
Yeah.
And we know how Les Snead, he's the guy pulling the strings there for the Rams. He's normally uber aggressive. Like, hell, for all we know, they could get to a point where he's trading picks to acquire a player
right,
to try and put the Rams over the top, because he's the guy a few years ago that infamously said, F them picks at their Super Bowl parade. So the thought was, okay, maybe he wants to reacquire some draft capital since that's not normally his style. But that, like, my worry in all of this all along, okay, it was fun. It's fun for the Steelers to be in this conversation, certainly fun for us because we can come in and talk about it every day. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, this is a team who the record doesn't look good, but given the circumstances of their division and everything else, they're not out of it. I don't know why they would trade the guy.
Well, the thought was going into Vegas, going into the games against Vegas and Minnesota, that, man, if they lose these two, the season's done. Well, they won both. So you're probably right about that. And then that leads to a question that I'll ask you in a moment here. First, the 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Clearly, the Steelers think and have thought that they need another receiver. So who's next? Who's still out there, Donnie, if this Cooper Kupp thing, if it was ever realistic, if it's less so now, then who's up? Who's next? Who's on the board?
I think it's one of the guys from either of the New York teams, which both of those teams conveniently play in New Jersey. One of them, the Steelers, played last Sunday. The other one, they play this Monday. I think you're looking at a Mike Williams or Darius Slayton.
May I read you some names?
Go ahead.
USA Today. Limitless Wonder, if you'd like to jump in here. Just give me a yes or a no on interest. We'll get into whether it's realistic and all that stuff afterward, okay? Donnie goes first. Wonder Twin goes second. I'll go third. Christian Kirk.
I'd be interested there for sure.
Mildly interested, yes.
Interested, absolutely. Mike Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, but not emphatically.
Did you hear him throw in that little caveat?
Oh, he hasn't been strong about the first two.
He's a caveat master. Not really. I'm not a big Mike Williams guy. Can't get Deontay Johnson because of NFL rules. Treylon Burks.
I'll go mildly there. I mean, the age is still attractive to me.
What are his
numbers
this year? Do you know?
I don't think good. I don't think they've been good for the last few seasons. That would be like truly like a hope and pray kind of project.
That would be like a
there.
You know, yeah, the Steelers have had projects like that at various positions. Let's take somebody else's high draft bust and see if they can flourish here.
He only has four grabs for 34 yards.
No.
The numbers are worse
than
Austin and Jefferson.
Austin?
Calvin Austin.
Oh. I thought you were making reference to our guy here at Waynesburg. Did he play football?
No.
Limits?
No, he's not much smaller, though, than Calvin Austin.
See, I might be taller than Calvin Austin. Austin.
Go back at him.
He is taller. He is taller than Calvin Austin. The weight might be close.
Treylon Burks interest you?
No, not at all.
Jonathan Mingo?
Nah.
No.
Not to be confused with Barkevious Mingo, the old Browns pass rusher.
I'd rather have him at receiver. Adam Thielen.
That interests me. I know the age would be concerning, but you pull up what that guy has done even in the last couple of seasons. He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year in the worst offense in football.
Wonder Twin?
I'd be very interested in Adam Thielen. He would probably be the top of that next tier receiver if they can't acquire Cooper Kupp.
Well, what's the deal?
Adam,
what's the deal with him?
Donna
Thielen, what's the deal with him? He hasn't played since September 22nd. What's the problem?
He's dinged up. I don't know if it's an ankle.
I don't know. I don't know about him. But I would be interested. You know, he sort of fits in the Cooper Kupp mold in that he's a guy that you can trust. He's going to get open, that type of thing. And last year, he had 103 catches. Did you already mention that?
I just said he had 1,000 yards, but yes.
Yeah, he's on IR with a hamstring injury.
See, that concerns me. If I was guaranteed health, he would actually top my list.
He's back at practice, but just in a limited capacity.
What did you say to that?
Yes, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah, me too. Well, I don't considering health?
Well, yeah, I mean, if he's already back to being a limited participant in practice, and it's not like a Russell Wilson week one limited participation in practice, then I would think he'd be back in a week.
Now he's a doctor, this guy, Donnie. Back
a
in
man
a
of
week?
Many talents.
Darius Slayton.
Yes.
Yes.
Why was that a yes? That wasn't emphatic.
I don't think Darius Slayton is as good as everybody makes him out to be. And even Jordan Rahan yesterday told us that it's basically Malik Nabers and then nothing in the Giants' offense. He didn't mention Darius Slayton as a viable weapon at all, even like a name drop for him.
See, maybe I'm overly harsh, but that's just how down I am on the other options besides Pickens at receiver. I understand that Van Jefferson had a touchdown last week. I understand that Calvin Austin had a nice grab where he got to run a little bit. Take away those two plays and look what those guys had. Austin had one catch. That one catch was all he did. And Van Jefferson had, I think, 2 for 15.
It seems like with Darius Slayton, a lot of the passes that go his way don't end up getting caught.
He has drop issues.
Yeah, that. Plus, there are years, and it might not be his fault. This could be quarterbacking. I'm just saying, when you have 96 targets and 50 receptions one year, 58 and 26, 71 targets and only 43 catches, something is majorly wrong there.
I think he would frustrate people, but the price for these guys won't be high.
See, he doesn't fit the profile of what I think they need, so I'm not interested. I want a veteran-style, dependable security blanket type. That doesn't mean somebody who's slow and can never make a play, but you know what I mean. I think a Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper was the guy for me. Some balls, but Amari Cooper is an elite route runner, and I think mostly a guy you can really depend on. I think he's a borderline star. I don't know if the Browns would have traded in division, but there's a certain kind of receiver I want, and this guy ain't it.
So I think based on your description, I know the injury would make it tough, but that sounds like you're an Adam Thielen guy.
Absolutely. Like I said, if I could get health assurances on him, he would, other than Cooper Kupp, who I don't think, who is getting less realistic by the day, he would top my list.
That's also where I think we're seeing more and more like the conditional draft picks are becoming like the new craze in the NFL. Like it's not just traditional like seventh round pick. That could be like a seventh that becomes a sixth if the guy plays 65% of the snaps or something like that.
Yeah.
So you have an assurance there that this guy stays mostly healthy. And I don't know, maybe even throw in a caveat like the Steelers win a playoff game, because I know that that's something that's tied into the Devontae Adams deal, for example.
Now, Christian Kirk may fit into that category I like as well. I think the word dependable is attached to him. Does he drop a lot of balls, Donnie?
I don't know what his drop rate is. I mean, I think he's a pretty solid receiver.
I mean,
though.
Listen to what I just said about Slayton, and now consider 103 targets, 77 receptions. That's a lot different. Although last year it went down a little bit. I like Christian Kirk.
And he's clearly turning into less of a threat in that Jags offense.
That's what anybody.
Brian
disaster.
Thomas has become a star.
But the guy has, you know, the last couple of years, over 100 first downs. He's a nice two receiver, I think. All right, let's get to Ray Fittipaldo. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 68 today with sunny skies. So we have a lot to talk about in regard to the Monday night game. We're going to have a numbers game at 11:30. Donnie and I go head-to-head who has the best number regarding this game. But first, Ray Fittipaldo, who unwittingly became the center of the story this week, Donnie, back at the news conference when we couldn't tell if Mike Tomlin said attitude or latitude. to quote the famous Jimmy Buffett song. And then did you hear about this? Brian Batko in the locker room the other day saw Tomlin and walked up for a clarification on that. Did you hear about this?
I heard that you guys discussed it, but I didn't know what the result was.
Batko, the savvy old news hound, goes up to Tomlin in the locker room